Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
Two and two on Terang. Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss, and he struck him out. Went to a fastball about neck high, and Blake Treinen gets the final out of this ball game. A 2-1 final score in game one of the NLCS, and it goes the Dodgers' way.
Yeah, gut-wrenching thriller yesterday at American Family Field. 2-1 the final, just two hits for the Brewers. Things got very interesting in the ninth. That was the final play, as called by Jeff Levering. But interestingly enough, Bryce Terang, in that at-bat, had another play, another pitch that is being more talked about today than the pitch he swung at for strike three. For more on that, we welcome in Brewers.com writer. It's Adam McKelvey. We spent time at the ballpark yesterday. In fact, he and I both talked to Bryce Terang about that at-bat, Adam. Easy to second guess, but Bryce Terang had a chance to sort of stick his knee out and get hit by a pitch, the pitch before he swung and missed, but said, hey, I get it. I just reacted. I had to get out of the way. It's not something you really think about in that instant, but you do afterwards.
Absolutely. And not just afterwards, but like the immediate aftermath. And he looked into the dugout. He told us, Greg, you know, he says, look at that replay. And I did. I went back, and that's immediately what he does. He looks into the dugout, and in that instance, he's thinking, oh, my God, I could have just stuck my knee out, and we would have a tie game. Now, he also said, and he's 100% right, it's absolutely human nature to get out of the way of a baseball.
Yes.
And for anyone who says, oh, it's a breaking ball, okay, let's go out and fire an 85-mile-an-hour pitch at your knee and see what happens. Like, I understand the, like, that's, you know, from the couch, it's all different, and you put yourself in that position, and what would you do? And you're trying to just, you know, win a game against this payroll Goliath. And it was right there for the taking, and the frustration level is very high. I don't necessarily fault him for getting out of the way of that pitch. That's what anyone would do in that situation. So a huge what if in kind of a ninth inning with a couple of really big ones.
I totally agree with you. I think it's just human nature that you would go and do that. Like, not even, you don't even really think about it. And he said he looked at the dugout, and he knew what happened, and you could tell. I mean, he didn't want that to happen, right? That was wild. But you know what else was wild? Can you explain that double play versus the Dodgers? Because let me just tell you this. All of a sudden, my phone was going crazy. I had one girlfriend who, she said, her husband said, that was the craziest play I have ever seen in my life. Another friend of mine, that was bleeping insane. Crazy catch, crazy play. It was wild, but it was fun to watch.
It was the craziest play I've ever seen, and I've seen a player steal first base. And people listening who remember Gene Segura, and I know Greg remembers that, we witnessed a player steal first base, which is hard to explain as well. I really think that that play shows the baseball IQ of William Contreras and, frankly, Caleb Durbin and Bryce Terang, and why the Brewers' defense is such a strength of theirs. I mean, I'm sitting there up in the press box, and I think a lot of people in the ballpark, and Sal Frelick, who gave us a fantastic meme of holding his arms out and, you know, mouthing what the bleep just happened, a lot of us were sort of like, wait, I need to see that again. What happened? If you watch William Contreras from start to finish on that play, he knew exactly what happened. He never even attempted to take that runner sliding home because he knew he had a force play. Then he immediately ran to third base because he knew he had a force play. And if you watch Caleb Durbin is standing on first, he knew that they had a force at third and was calling for the ball. And Bryce Terang was out there in the outfield yelling at Jory Ortiz, home, home, home. He knew it was a force play. So the baseball IQ of several players on the field was really revealed in that moment, and an incredible play. And look, credit to Tim O'Driscoll, who is the Brewers' longtime official scorer and a legendary Wisconsin high school baseball coach as well. He was on top of that play immediately as well, and he was able to announce for us and for the broadcasters almost immediately that that is technically a grounded into double play because of the way the official scoring rules happen. If you get a force at two bases, that's just the way it's scored. So a ball that never touched the ground, except maybe a hop on the way home, I can't even remember if it was a one hopper, was scored a grounded into double play in a really remarkable just series of events in an incredible game that didn't go the Brewers' way, but just one of the best baseball games that has ever been played in that ballpark. This was easily the highlight moment. And just to plug, if you go on MLB.com, we've got a story with everybody from both sides talking about it and their reaction, and it's 100% worth a read.
Yeah, crazy part is Sal Frelick is probably mad at himself for not catching the ball, but if he catches the ball cleanly, the Dodgers score a run.
Absolutely. The greatest non-catch in the history of the Brewers postseason play, and what a fortuitous thing. And you know, the Brewers have this thing about, oh, they're lucky. But look, there's a lot that goes into that, and opposing teams make more errors against the Brewers than any other team. That's a matter of having, like, fast players who put the ball in play. And then this was an instance of coming up with luck just because you have, like, smart players on the field who understand the rules of the game and how to take advantage of a situation when something crazy happens. So there's like, making your own luck, and I think that play was a part of that.
I mean, how great was Sal Frelick's face? And before that, then his helmet comes off and his hair is just free-flowing and the fans are going wild.
Well, that face he made, it was like, you know, when you if his mom is famously like the best Italian cook there is. It's like if you went over there and you were cooking pasta and you broke the pasta in half. Oh. I think that's the face Sal was making.
Exactly. I don't think he knew exactly what happened, and it took a while to explain to him. He was sort of caught up in the play after firing it back in. Nonetheless, that play happens, and my thought was, Brewers are going to win this game. It didn't turn out that way. Blake Snell was a magician on the mound last night. Nobody was going to hit him, regardless of the lineup. It's not a lineup tweak that the Brewers should have made to win that game. No, it was just a great pitcher who had a great night. But I do point out to our fans, Adam, it was the Brewers who beat the Dodgers in Game 1 of the NLCS in 2018, only to sadly lose that series in 7 games in Milwaukee. So one game, while every game is important, doesn't define the entire series.
Well, it shows you a couple of things about, I think, what we expect about this series. Number one, the Dodgers' strength is their starting rotation. Pat Murphy was saying yesterday when the Brewers set the roster that the Brewers basically have 1.5 starters. He kind of amended it to 2. And I think he means Freddie Peralta, who goes tonight. And the Brewers just have to win when Freddie Peralta pitches in this series to have a chance. Now, that's saying it too strongly because weird things happen in baseball. But, like, they got to win this game tonight with Freddie on the mound. Because then you have Quinn Priester, who's – Murph calls him a rookie. He's not technically a rookie, but he's going through all this for the first time. They use an opener to kind of get the matchups the way they want. So they're trying to put him in the very best position. And then you have Jose Quintana, who's coming back from a calf injury, and maybe we'll get to like 70, 75 pitches, something like that, if it really goes right, presumably in game 3. But somewhere in this series, he will have to start. So they have like Freddie Peralta as the one guy who's like just starting games and go out and go as long as you can. The Dodgers have Blake Snell, former Cy Young, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, which whatever his contract is, an ace-type pitcher that they brought over. They have Tyler Glass now, who's not having the best year, but is a sensational pitcher and another huge money signing. And by the way, in game 4, Shohei Ohtani. So it is like an incredible starting rotation. It's like classic. But you think of what all of us think of as going into the postseason with your pitching, that's what the Dodgers are. Now, never mind they have Freddie Freeman and Ohtani and Mookie Betts and these guys in the lineup. But I'm saying all that because the other thing last night showed us is like this is baseball and you have all those stars and on paper you can say one thing about how this series is going to go and then you play the game and like the Brewers were right in that game. One swing from winning the game that would have taken probably a third hit, 3 hits. That is the weirdness of baseball. That is the lottery of the postseason. And it's why you cannot predict what's going to happen in these games. It's huge. The Brewers had such a prime opportunity to kind of steal a game when a guy pitches as well as you can possibly pitch. for 8 innings, faces the minimum. Only like 5 guys have ever done that for 8 innings in a postseason game. So it's just really hurts that they didn't pick up that game last night, but you just never know.
Yeah, two really good teams here. Hey, I noticed last night that one of the Dodgers pitchers was checking out his note card, and I just made me wonder, like, what's all on that note card? How much is on that note card? Is it about all the players, certain players? I know it's not a note for mom.
Hey, well, it could be a note for mom. Why not? No, it's scouting information about how to attack certain hitters, and every now and then a pinch hitter comes up, a pitcher needs a reminder. The outfielders have them for positioning purposes with hitter tendencies against various handed pitchers and style, you know, types of pitches. They can get very detailed. I suppose it depends on the eyesight of the player, which are usually pretty good if you're in the major leagues, and how much info a guy wants. Blake Snell was looking at that card a lot yesterday. You'll see other pitchers who go out there, and it's so much more feel. I think Freddie Peralta is probably one of those guys. He pitches to his strengths. He feels what he has working that day, and that dictates how he attacks hitters. Other guys really want to know the scouting report and pitch to that. So it's kind of a to each his own type of thing. But yesterday there was much in-game reading last night.
Yeah, I think that's why I noticed it more, because all of a sudden it was like, oh, here comes the note card again. Oh, he's taking it out again.
Yeah, you don't have as many mound visits allowed in Major League Baseball anymore. So you've got to find ways to sort of have a scouting report on a hitter, especially as a pinch hitter, especially in these situations. A developing story here, Adam. I don't know if we've got any traction, but Pat Murphy was trying to angle something to keep Freddie Freeman out of the lineup.
Freddie Freeman's been a Brewer killer for a while, so hopefully he'll oversleep tomorrow or something.
Have you been tracking this story? Is Freddie Freeman still stuck in bed? Will he not make it to the ballpark tonight?
I don't think the Brewers are that lucky. Murph also said he was going to try to see if he could find a way to get Roki Sasaki suspended, the rookie closer, who the Brewers actually got to last night and made it a ball game and had to have Blake Treinen, who's had a tough year, which, look, the Dodgers won the World Series last year. Relievers who navigate that gauntlet, it's often a tough year the next year. So that probably explains some of what Treinen has gone through this season. So I don't know that they're going to be able to navigate that. They're going to have to beat these guys. And he's right. Freeman, remember, homered off Josh Hader. Hader never gave up homers to lefties. Freeman hit a huge one in the division series in 2021 that knocked the Brewers out. So he's been killing him for a while, and Pat Murphy loves Freddie Freeman. He loves his son, the story of the Freeman family. There's a lot of mutual respect there, but when Freeman is in the batter's box, Murph wishes he was somewhere else.
At no breaks in that lineup, and the Brewers really held it largely in check. So a good sign perhaps here for the Brewers. Hopefully their offense gets going tonight. Should be a fun one at the ballpark. Adam McKelvey will be there. We appreciate it, Adam. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much.
All right. See you out there, Greg.